how they might entangle him, entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, all three of those statements they made were true. So what were they up to? We'll talk that in a little bit. Verse 17. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute or pay taxes unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? I want to make sure you understand this. When Jesus would identify somebody as a hypocrite, they were lost. A true believer cannot be a hypocrite. When I liken us to Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, it's their behavior, it's their thinking, okay? True hypocrite is lost. Can a believer have hypocritical behavior? Absolutely. All that means is we do opposite of what we believe and say. But if you're a hypocrite today, you're lost. It means that you say one thing and you do completely another thing. What you say doesn't match your behavior. Most people tell me they're a Christian, and their behavior denies what they tell me. That would be a true hypocrite. You may have some truth, but if your actions don't follow that truth, you are screaming, I'm a hypocrite. So Jesus, verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? Whose imprinted on this penny? He asked. Verse 21. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Verse 23. The same day came the other religious group, came to him the Sadducees. Now let me explain this. The Pharisees were the religious group and really made up the primary leadership religiously in Israel with the Sanhedrin. But the Pharisees believed in a resurrection from the dead. And so the way you'll remember this, my wife helped me with this, it's Sadducee that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. So that would be the distinction. Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, though they all rejected Jesus. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And Herodians, the Herodians were pro-Herod, via the name, right? And so really, if I were to liken the Herodians, they were more like the state religions of our day, right? Where you would have, you would have Roman Catholicism, which is you would have the uniting of the Roman Empire with religion. You would have the Episcopalians, which was the uniting of religion with the Church of with England. You would have Presbyterianism, which was the uniting of religion with Scotland, right? And so you have, that's kind of what I would like in the Herodians too. They aligned politically, kind of felt safe, right? They aligned with the Herods, right? Herod the Great had died. Herod Antipas, who was in place, he would have had their support. And even though Herod hated Jesus as well, and so all the Herods did, but they some of them wanted to see him in, as like a clown act, but they were all false religious leaders. And so now let's look here, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say, There is no resurrection. And asked him, saying, Master, that just word means teacher, Moses said, and what they're going to quote is true, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And so this was, God would have this, that if you have it would really get people involved in who you married, and I think there could be a good thing with that, right? So if you have, and he's going to give this story here, that you have a woman that marries a man, and he has six other brothers. So there's going to be seven brothers in total. And I'm going to tell you this, it's my belief in the scriptures. The only ones eligible, so if this brother died and they didn't have any children, then the next eligible brother, single brother. God's not promoting multiple wives. So the next single brother would, under Jewish law, would be required to marry her and raise up seed unto the name, unto the family. So can you see why people would get involved in who the brother marries? Because if you're single, you're like, you're next up. You know, you might be paying for her medical bills or his medical bills, whatever. But so they give this example that a woman marries a man, chonk, 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 and all of them marry her and then die. So verse 24. Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, died, and having no issue, no children, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So we're going to talk about, I think, the overall message. But one of the things we learned is there's no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven. And he's also the God of the living. I want you to understand, Jesus talked about this all the time. It is that if you believe on Christ, if your true faith is in Christ, if you turn from your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall never die. The real you is not this carcass. Your carcass will die. The container of the real you will die, but you will not. He's the God of the living. And so he told them that as well. Why don't we obey? So I want to help you with where I've come with this title and the thoughts this morning is the Pharisees. And so I'll focus on them, and the Sadducees much the same, and the Herodians, people that don't know Christ. They're caught up in rules. They're caught up in, I must do this, I must do this, I must do this. I hear people talk about it all the time, and one of the popular things is, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and that is true. The real question is, why don't you want to? But I want you to understand this. Why don't we obey? And I want to tell you this, I'm preaching to myself. If you think I'm standing here preaching, that I have even the basics that I speak of often, that I am nailing the basics, and I've talked about the basics, right? Feasting on the Word of God, being a person of prayer, you know, just that where we seek the Lord's face. It is being a church rat, being here when the doors are opened. It is being a Great Commission Christian, that we both teach the lost and we teach the saved, and then that we are stewards of our time, talent, and treasure, right? That our time is really driven by Christ, the talents God's given us, the gifts he's given us, we use for him, and then our treasure, we honor him with that as well. So when I preach this message, I'm telling you, I have to ask this question, why don't I obey? Now, I'm going to show you here some ways that the Pharisees, because here's what the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to trip him up, but they had rejected him, and so they weren't going to follow him, they weren't going to obey him, and they had their different reasons why they wouldn't obey him. And so I want you to be challenged this morning. What are the different reasons why you don't obey him? And partial obedience is disobedience. And so I have to look in the mirror and understand that is he finishes this chapter with, it's about loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so that's really what it comes down to. And I don't want you to add task to you. When I talk about the five basics, I want you to be driven by it, because Christ is worthy, and you want to honor him, right? You want to honor him. So now let's just look at this. Look at verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So they tried to entangle him in his talk. What were they trying to do? This is what you and I do. You and I will use the preacher. And what you want to do is you want to find a reason, maybe, and I'll say some crazy things sometimes, not planned or on purpose, but you'll find something with the preacher and go, well, you know what? Steve said this, so I don't need to do that. We'll find our excuse. You know, I'm sort of big on that. I'm convinced the scriptures teach that every believer ought to teach others. It's the number one thing that other believers resist from me. And they have a million excuses. You understand, most people sitting in Baptist churches today, if it depended on them for the world to go to heaven, nobody's going to go to heaven. You understand that? That's what makes up our Baptist churches. And I'm a Baptist because I believe we, by God's grace, we desire to preach the truth. But filled in our Baptist churches are people that never even communicate the gospel, let alone are burdened about it. And I'm not asking you to feel guilty about it, but what's your excuse? Why aren't you teaching people? Why aren't you at least trying? You've got your excuse. You can entangle me in my talk. You can find flaws in me. You can do that, and you can feel good about yourself, and when you get into eternity, you will have eternal regret. I don't know how that works. You won't have tears, but you will eternally be aware that you blew it. I will too. So I talk about that one because if there is one that if we as believers got it right, that, I love the song. I love the song, man. I'm just going to go read those words again. I mean, did you catch the words of that song? I mean, just listen to this. It is wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, right? You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. I will tell you this. Now, you know what? You sang it with your heart, and I know this. I'm surrounded by people that I do believe you love Jesus, but why don't we obey? What we need to do is, the world needs to know this. Jesus is the one that we praise. Jesus is the one that we adore. Jesus is the one that'll help you. Jesus is the one that'll solve your great need to be forgiven of your sins. The world mocks Christianity today because they don't see Christianity today. So how have we taken words and they wanted to entangle him in his words because all they needed to do is this: I just need to justify my behavior. Jesus asked them a question just a few weeks ago. I preached it when he said, John's baptism, was it of heaven or was it of man? And they reasoned with themselves. If we say it's heaven, then he's going to say to them, why didn't you do what he said? If we say it's of man, the people. So they understood what Jesus was saying, and they completely rejected him. They just wanted to twist his words. So I beg you, where's your struggle? Where's your struggle? I'm telling you this. I don't want you just to leave here today and go, well, I need to do this. That would be religion. What you need to do and what I need to do is I need to separate myself and consecrate myself unto the Lord Jesus Christ and get to know him better so that he is high and lifted up in this old heart of mine so that I will honor and serve him and it'll be a delight. Oh, I am tired this week. I am tired. First time, I think I tore something in my knee and I don't know how because I don't remember any wrenching of it, but it is like every step hurts. It's my good knee, right? So my bad knee, I can't feel anything with. I think they've just severed every nerve that I have possible in my knee. But it's my good knee, right? So you can tell when somebody's old and they start talking about, well, my good finger, my good knee, you know. Well, I got a good ear. Got a good ear. Speak here. You know, but I'm starting to sound that way. But it's a good tired. See, I do not want you to leave with a to-do list. I want you to leave with, you know what? I've tried to twist words because Jesus isn't important enough for me to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You see, that's all they were trying to do. They were full of religion. I mean, these guys were doers. They just didn't do what they said. Jesus said, hey, you can listen to them. They seem to have been saying good things. We're going to see that a little bit later. You can listen to them, just don't follow them. And they were just trying to entangle Jesus in his words so that they could, what, justify their own behavior. You and I do that every day. I do that every day. Here's where we get a mistake. We start to compare ourselves one to another, right? We compare ourselves one to another. And here's the reality. Some of you worked harder this week than others. Don't get sucked into that. don't get sucked into that. It's, here's how we should look. Oh, what a privilege. I'm so glad that they left so that I could serve the Lord more. And if that went through your mind, tell me later, I want to be like you. That's not our response. But it's a privilege to serve, right? But don't compare yourselves one to another. You'll get entangled in that too. And it's a delight to serve. It's a joy to serve. You know what I love about this week? I want to have the spirit of children. I mean, it's just so cool. I'm going to secretly put my numbers down on the bag of candy, and I'm just going to put some name that nobody else will have. And when you call that name, I'm coming running up because I want the candy. I literally was sitting there going, I was deprived as a child. They didn't do this at my vacation Bible school. And if you know me, I know. We thought of either going to be Hope Baptist Church or Candy Baptist Church because you know this pastor loves candy. Right? I know. And that's not popular today, right? Candy's not popular. Well, get a new pastor. No, I'm just kidding. But it is, I'm guessing next year. I'm going to put a secret name. You're not going to know it, right? It's going to be like, I'm not even going to tell you what my name's going to be. And so I'm going to win. But it's, you know, I love the children. They're just so excited. I want to be excited about life again. I want to be excited about life again for the right reason, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. You know, we have so much to be excited about. We have so much to be thrilled about. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? On my worst day, I'm going to heaven. Do you remember that? Let's not try to entangle. Let's just say this. You know what? If that's what the Lord wants, by God's grace, I want to love him enough that I'll do it and I'll delight in it. We always benefit. We can't be focused on the benefit because the benefit doesn't seem to come fast enough, does it? If you serve the Lord for benefit, now I'm telling you this, I am thrilled. I'm thrilled about those five children, and I'm convinced there's more children than we know about. Let's pray for them. Let's love them, but let's not try to twist my words. If you're looking to have an excuse, you can just listen to my preaching, and you guys will soon enough, you'll be like, I knew it. I'm not doing it. But listen to the Word of God. Second thing I want you to do, they tried flattery. That is absolutely what's going on in verse 16. Now, what I'm telling you is this. Here's what this is all about. They thought Jesus was stupid. That's what they thought. So they thought they could just lay it on thick, right? Lay it on thick. I went back and I wanted to make sure I was using the right word. Here's flattery, excessive and insincere praise. That's exactly what they did in verse 16. Now, you can't excessively praise Jesus, but they were trying. Look at verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true. That is absolutely right. And teach us the way of God and truth. That is absolutely right. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, I want you to see these three things. And I do want you to understand these. These ought to be characteristics of Christians. I like this. Hey, kids, what was the first piece of armor? The belt of truth. Right? The belt of truth. And I was in and out. So I'm sure we're going to massively agree, right? So the belt of truth, right? Because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, right? So the belt of truth is, tell me, just shake your head. You taught that that's just us being truthful, honest people. Yeah. So I'm making sure from the auditorium, right? That's, you know what? I'm telling you this. Christians ought to be known for being truthful and honest people, that people can come to us and we'll tell them the truth. Even if the truth hurts, even if you're afraid you'll get in trouble. And they said, we know you are true. People ought to know that we are people that will tell the truth, and we ought to be people of truth. It ought to be a foundational, fundamental characteristic of believers. I want you to know this. This is important. Every single adult in here, you've lied in the last 12 months. I have too. I'm embarrassed about that. That's horrible. And we ought to try to rid ourselves of that. And the best way is if you find yourself saying, you know what, that's not right. Here's what's right. We ought to be people of truth. I'm not talking about the truth of God's word. I'm talking, we just ought to be people that, and it doesn't mean you tell everybody everything you think. That's not the kind of truth I'm talking about. It's just that when people ask such a question, we will say what truth is. And people will know, I can trust Randall. I can trust Jacob. I can trust Lauren. When I ask her something, she's going to tell me what is reality, what is true, what she believes, and it's good they knew Jesus. Secondly, that he taught the way of God. Christians ought to be known. I'm telling you this. I know you guys. See, that's your hobby horse. I think it's God's too. I think I'm riding in the Calvary with the Lord that says we ought to be teaching people the way of God. Teaching people the way of God. You ought to witness too, but teaching people the way of God. Are you teaching people the way of God? Are you teaching people the way of God? I'm telling you this. It's delightful. How was it today, Nassim? Better than you thought, right? It was worse than I thought, but no, I'm just kidding. No. Nassim, thank you for doing that. You allowed yourself to be stuck, but I'm telling you this. Teaching one-on-one and watching God transform lives is way better than what you did this morning, and I know you know that. I mean, this guy, you shame me, man. I think I tried to study my message a little bit more this week because Nassim has put in 371 hours in that 45 minutes that he taught this morning. He quit his job. No, I mean, it's like, I love how he seriously took it, right? But there's nothing like teaching the way of God. And I'm not talking from a pulpit or a lectern. I'm just telling you this. Find somebody. You ought to be so desperate. See, here's the hard part about Christianity. People say, no, thank you. 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 You ought to be like, man, the next person is going to say yes. And then you have a heart attack. Be like, you must have misunderstood me. I mean, let me explain. Yes, I would like that. Surely not me. And then you'll find it's one of the greatest things in the world. Christians ought to be known to be true. Christians ought to be known to teach the way of God. We can't expect the world to come into here. Now, I love events, and I love that we had many, many that don't come on Sunday, but we got to teach them, and what a privilege. But generally speaking, this service is for the sheep. Christians ought to be known to be true. Christians ought to be known to teach the way of God. Christians ought to be known not to be partial to others. You know, and Jesus wasn't, right? Jesus, they knew this, right? They just knew this. If Jesus leaned either way, it was to the poor, the destitute, the outcast, but he wasn't partial to anybody because of their skin color. He wasn't partial to anybody because of their male or female. He wasn't partial to them about anything that. So I don't even know if I want to go here, but it is. It's not that Jesus didn't know. Jesus had an inner three, Peter, James, and John. That's not the partiality that's talked about here. He had a plan. He's going to use you differently, Clay, then he's going to use you differently, Justin, but he's going to do it in the same way, but different ways. And so it's not a greater service. It's just a different way he's going to use you. That's not partiality, right? But they knew this. See, Christians, listen to this. There should not be one person that we ignore with the gospel. You see, that's Jesus. You could go on and on. The woman at the well. The demon-possessed guy at Gadara. The demoniac from Gadara, right? It is on and on. Zacchaeus. That publican. Little dude. Up in the tree. Right? It's like he saw him up in the tree. He says, Zacchaeus, I don't even know the scripture. You come down today, for I'm going to your house today. I know the song better than I know the passage, because I think it's in Luke. Is it in Luke? It's in Luke. Zacchaeus, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I want you to know this. They thought God was stupid. You and I think God's stupid. There's not one person in this room. If I walked up and you say, is God stupid? You would say, with a shake of your head, no. No. All right. We are in perfect alignment. And so, but we think God's stupid. We would never say those words. Listen to your prayer sometimes. It is, God's not stupid. He's so merciful that he's willing to look stupid. You understand that? God's intelligence is beyond comprehension. He is so merciful that sometimes we misunderstand that and we think he's stupid. Oh, Christian, when we don't serve him, we don't think it matters. Because if you thought it mattered and you thought it was a big deal, and I thought it was a big deal, I'm looking in a mirror right now, then I would honor him. in ways that I've struggled all my life, I would finally get it together because I'm like, God's not stupid. He is going to justly hold me accountable. I've been forgiven of my sins. I will not be punished for my sins, but I will answer for everything I've done. If I really believed that and I got that in my heart, then I would bow and gladly serve him. But I think it's not that important because I think God's stupid. We live that every day. We can pick on the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and we can just slice them up, but I fear that they are we. Not in the truest sense of them being hypocrites. Now, then the third thing I want to show you is they questioned the wisdom of God. This is when they thought, we've got him! Because Israel was under the rule of Rome. You and I don't know what that's like, but being under the rule of Rome, when it would be like somebody taking over our country, and they feel like they can walk into your home, and if they want to take anything they want from your refrigerator, they could. There ain't nothing you can do about it. And if they want to raise taxes, they can. And if you mess with them, then they had some rules, but the soldiers, they would always support the soldiers. They could do anything they wanted to you, and they could get away with it. How would you like that? I will tell you this, I would struggle not hating those people, wouldn't you? Well, the average Jew hated them. And I would say, from a human perspective, hate is always wrong, but justly so from a human perspective. You follow me? The Romans were ruthless. They didn't care what you thought. In fact, the soldiers that were in Israel didn't want to be there. They'd rather be home with their families. And they're here having to wipe your snotty nose, just in essence, to take care of you because you people can't behave. Right? And so they hated them. So what they did is they bring out a penny and they say, hey, Jesus, should we pay taxes to Rome? And the whole tax system was messed up. They were cheats. They were called the publicans. I've talked about it often. And they would just rip you off if they wanted a new car. Now, a new chariot. Right? So they wanted a new chariot. Right? I mean, I could see, you know, the stone boards back in the day. Okay, that was supposed to be funny too. Pass. And rather than a billboard, okay. Anyway, have to explain your jokes, you know they're bad. Anyway, it wasn't planned, so isn't that good news, right? So Stephen James isn't as funny as you think. They were all planned. They were all planned. And he put an accent on. When you put an accent on bad jokes, they even sound better. Anyway, awesome job, Stephen James. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch the skits online. It's not as good online. But it'll give you a flavor for it. And you're like, who is this guy? I thought he was just a celloist. A struggling celloist of that. No. Get on back, Steve, because these people want to eat. They question the wisdom of God. And so here's what they said. Hey, should we pay tribute to Caesar? Oh, they got him. If he says you better believe you pay taxes, all they wanted to do is sway the people against him. Right? And if you deal with my wallet, yes, I'm against you. And see, God is the all-knowing, all-wise God. See, I'm telling you this, there's a difference between intelligence, you know, we think God's stupid, and the wisdom of God. You see, this isn't intelligence, this is the wisdom of God. It's not all the wisdom of God. It's impossible for a book to contain it. But there is one book that contains the wisdom of God for us, and it's right here. You want to know how to live? You want to know how to have joy? God is pro-happiness. He's pro-happiness. He's pro-smiles. Oh, yes, we're going to... No, I'm not. No. He's pro-smiles. He's pro-happiness. I want you to know that. I need to make sure I preach that plenty. But it's happiness in the Lord. Not happiness just consuming upon myself. Right? Happiness in the Lord. And so Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and render unto God that which is God's. So I want to ask you this morning. Are you rendering unto God what is his? Every single person, he owns every single person in this room. That doesn't mean you're saved. God created every single person in this room. God is the creator of life. He's the giver of life, every single person. God is why you are alive right this minute, because God is involved in keeping the devil from killing you. You understand this? The devil would slaughter every one of us if he got the permission from the Lord. There's not one person that God, that the devil would not. He hates everyone created in the image of God. The devil loves death. I want you to understand that. It is, are you rendering unto God the things that are God's? God owns you. Do we submit? Do we submit? See, that's the issue. I believe I may be one of the top 10 in this room, maybe number one, that resist submission. I like independence. I like independence. And I like independence. God bless, I was able to do some cool things at work, but the bosses, I would just say, leave me alone. You know, that was my number one demand. I'd say, leave me alone, and I'll stress myself out, and I'll do better if you leave me alone. But if you want, I can put the square peg in the square hole. I said, just watch me. So you guys say, I'm glad you didn't work for me, probably. But I would tell them that my favorite bosses, they would leave me alone, and I would communicate to them what's going on so that I wouldn't surprise them. But you know what, Randall? That's a curse to me. I love being an independent Baptist, but I can't be too independent. I need to love all believers. I need to be thankful for everybody that preaches the gospel, and I need to be kind to all. This is not a competition. We're not here to compare ourselves to others. I'm telling you this, I am dependent upon the Lord, and I need to understand that, and every day I need to bow to my King and say, O King, how can I render unto you what is yours today? What would you have me to do? Justin hasn't passed a thing. I mention it every time. I don't want you to forget it, because it was a small thing for you, but you reminded me of something I've always known, and I don't want to ever forget it the rest of my life. You know what I'm trying to do today, Steve? I want to live for Jesus Christ today, Sunday. I was hurting so bad Friday night. I'm going home. I mean, I looked like my mother-in-law, who has two bad knees, and she's 93. And no, she's not 92. Just kidding. Didn't mean to make it too high. But I love my mother-in-law. You know, she serves the Lord right, and I'm not feeling sorry for her. I just, because I know the Lord will bless her, but it's pain. I looked about as bad as you, didn't I? And I have no idea where I was going. So you were just going to just drop it right there. I had a point. I was going to circle around, and you know, sometimes when I got distracted, I don't remember where was I going. You can't rescue me. I've totally lost it, and so it's unimportant. Unimportant. Here's the key: don't question the wisdom of God. Know this book. Know the Lord. See, you understand where the Pharisees, Sadducees, they were questioning the wisdom of God. They were trying to entangle him. And then finally this, if you allow me to. I'm going to take verses 23 through 33. They question the power of God. They've heard me say this often. I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead is the greatest demonstration of God's power, and its creation was a joke compared to the resurrection of the dead. I get it when the Sadducees would say there is no resurrection from the dead, because it belies all human wisdom, everything you would think of and see and observe scientifically. Resurrection from the dead is ridiculous and impossible. All that we can observe from a human perspective, that's why it has to be only God can do it. And so if you doubt the power of God, then you will not serve him. You understand that? See, that's one of the big issues. Is will we with long suffering, will we with patience know what God wants, and then we're going to do it. And when we quit, it's because we doubt the power of God. You understand this? I by God's grace, I almost wish we had Vacation Bible School a month and a half from now. Because I've got some new, and it's not about strategy, but I think we ought to be doers of the word. And I've got some new thoughts how we're going to be able to reach Fairfield better. And, you know, some of you might not agree with all my thoughts, but we're going to reach Fairfield better. Guys, we should be reaching hundreds of kids. You understand that? There's 5,100 homes within a 1 mile radius. 5,100 homes. I have no idea how many children within a 1 mile radius. Most of these children could not tell you, if you walked up to them, tell me what God requires for heaven. 9 out of 10 couldn't tell you. I'm telling you, 7 or 8 out of 10 children, if you just say, tell me what you know about Jesus. It's about the best. You got to test it. It's about the best you'll get. Well, he died on a cross. They don't know anything else. You understand? We need to, it's about faith, right? We've talked about faith. But what causes us to wander is we doubt the power of God. You know the Sadducees, why they wouldn't believe in Jesus? They didn't believe in the power of God. They just were like so many religious people. Well, you know, you just live this life, do the best you can, and then you die and you go back to the dust. The body goes back to the dust, but it will rise again. You understand this? We'll finish. Just look at these four excuses. We try to find excuses and entangle preachers in their words. We try to twist the scriptures to match what we want to do. Second, we think God's stupid. Third, we question the wisdom of God, and there's no way that's what he wants. Well, that's exactly what he wants, what he says. And then number four, we doubt the power of God. I want you guys, if we can, again, I want you just to go back and say, what areas of life are you struggling obeying God? What's your excuse? If your excuse is, I can't do it, I've tried, it's a power of God issue. I want to tell you, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. God will help us have victory over sin. I'm telling you this, or the Bible's wrong. God will help you. He will help me. And I'm telling you this, I do not, this is a freebie, when I die, don't you come to the funeral and say, Steve's the nicest guy I ever met. Stop it. I'm not. You know, it is, don't even talk about me. Talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this, I am going to be nicer. And I'm going to beat you up over it if you don't like it. You know what? Because I made a mistake. I said to a waitress this past week, and she corrected me. I said, well, the Bible, the first thing the Bible says love is kindness. She had a different version. She said, no, love is patient, but love is suffereth long, right? So, second one is love is kind. God's going to give me victory over my besetting sins. And it's all about Jesus Christ. You understand this? My issue is my walk with Christ. My issue is I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the flesh. You see, I don't want anything to do with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Herodians. But sadly, when I review this list, they just wanted Jesus to be satisfied with who they were. Jesus loves me, this I know. But I will tell you that it's because he's merciful. Jesus tells all believers, be ye holy as I am holy. What a bar. I think we can have moments of holiness. We will never apprehend. We will never arrive this side of heaven. But that doesn't stop the goal. He said, live for me. And the question is, do we love him? I beg you this morning, don't leave with guilt. Leave with resolve that says, I need to know the wisdom of God. I need to know Christ. I want to see every chapter in the Bible. I loved our discussion in Sunday school, 1 Kings chapter 12. It was so good because it looks like 1 Kings chapter 12 was a New Testament chapter when we were done with it this morning, right? Because I think all the Bible is about one person. It's about Jesus Christ. My need is Jesus. Great songs that say it, but what about my life? Why don't we obey? Because we think he's stupid. We don't think it's wise. We don't think we have the power. Or we've just twisted, whether it's scripture, a preacher's words, to justify a life that when we die, we will wish we had listened. Let's pray. Father,